If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Sawid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. It's been a couple of episodes that we have devoted to some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei, and we'd like to continue along the same line. And let me ask you this question at the beginning of this episode, Sheikh. If someone wants to advance their Homs year, for example, change it from the 1st of January to the 1st of March, another month, or the upcoming month, is mere intention or calculation sufficient? Or should they definitely pay some kind of amount for the Homs in order to change the Homs year?
Well, mere intention and calculation are not sufficient, and they must pay khums, okay, to change the khums year. The khums year is a fixed financial cycle marking when one must assess savings and pay khums.
Yes.
Khums is actually 1/5 of what you, what belongs to you.
Right.
It is actually 20% of what you have earned during the year.
Mm-hmm.
So to reset or advance this date, one must first pay khums on all surplus wealth up to that point.
Right.
And of course, merely deciding or calculating a new date does not fulfill the requirement, because khums is a divine right that becomes due at the completion of each fiscal year. So paying what is owed clears the obligation and allows the start of a new khums year from the new date chosen. Okay, so there's nothing one can do if a person wants to advance his khums date. This is the procedure, and it cannot be delayed unless one pays khums and makes actually and clears his debt to Allah.
I see. And should they actually put aside, for example, a special amount for this kind of change then?
Of course, once khums is paid, until then, khums is of all the property and savings has been paid. Then, until that very date, the new date, then of course, the change occurs with the payment of homes.
But there is an extra period of time added. Like, for example, from the January to the March, there is a gap of actually 2 months, right?
From January to March, yes. From January, the first month of the
Christian year. Yes.
So homes of that area also. For example, if you earn money on the 25th of January, because you are supposed to pay homes on in the beginning of the of January.
True.
But you earn some amount of money, or you got some money on the 25th of that month.
Yes.
Okay. You must pay homes of that amount at the end and the beginning of the of March. Okay.
Oh, right.
March homes should be paid, and then the change.
Despite the fact that it has not actually you have not spent it for 1 year.
Yeah, despite the fact that 1 year has not lapsed over it,
yes,
has not passed over it,
okay,
but then you are required to pay khums on that amount.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. Let's have a break, then we'll come back and continue our program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Stay tuned with us.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, my next question is about Vatan, the original hometown. Which city is considered as the original hometown or Vatan? In Islamic jurisprudence, Vatan refers to a person's original or permanent hometown. How is this determined? Is it automatically the place where one is born, yeah, or the place where one's parents reside? What if someone is born in one city but his parents' permanent home is elsewhere?
Yes.
Which one takes precedence? Moreover, does living in that city for a certain duration, for instance several months or years, establish it as one's original vatan, even if the person later moves away from that town?
Right. Well, if a person is born in a certain place, or let's call it vatan or hometown, of his parents, and he is born in that vatan of his parents and resides there for about 6 months, mm-hmm, it is his vatan as well.
Yes.
So it's a kind of subjugation. I mean, he is subservient to the hometown of his parents. What is considered to be his father's hometown is also his hometown, provided that he should have lived there for about 6 months.
Right.
Now, if someone is born in a city other than his parents' hometown, in the event that he actually stays there for 5 to 6 years, it is his original vatan. Because he was born there and he stayed there for 5 to 6 years, it becomes his al-watan al-asli, or his original watan. Now, to provide more explanation, I would say that a person's original hometown is established by birth and substantial residence, mm-hmm, in that place.
Yes.
If one is actually born in the same place as the parents' watan or hometown and lives there for a reasonable period of time, around like 6 months, it becomes his own watan automatically.
Mm.
Well, and if one is born elsewhere, the place becomes his hometown only through longer residence, like typically 5 or 6 years, actually, with no intent of being transient, you see. And of course, once established, this status remains even after living that place,
right,
unless one permanently abandons the city with no intention of returning. You know, that is called i'raz in Arabic, which means that you abandon, you quit that place, and you have no intention of to return to that, mm, place. So that place ceases to be your hometown, when, just like brides or grooms who might relocate, they might change their place and move to another city, forgetting about their original hometown. They never then no longer want to or intend to return to that place.
Mm.
So in that case, if someone happens to go back to that place,
right,
by accident, okay, he travels or she travels to that place, then she has to shorten her prayers.
Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Mohammed Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, if an essential impurity, I mean, ayn al-najasa, falls into a well, does the water inside it, inside that well, become, impure, najis? I mean, well, since wells often serve as communal sources or source of water, what happens when a najasa, such as the carcass of an animal, urine, or blood, falls into the well? Does the entire well become impure, or only the area surrounding the impurity becomes, in fact, impure? Are there specific types of impurities that render all the water impure, or does it depend on the change in the water's properties, like taste, color, smell, and so on and so forth?
Right.
What measures should be taken to purify the well afterwards?
Right. So there are a lot of questions within one question. I should say that the water of a well which springs forth from the earth, although its quantity may be less than a core, does not become impure owing to something najis falling in it, okay?
Yes.
So, for example, if a drop of urine falls into a well, because there is water continuously coming, and springing forth from the earth, so it does not become impure unless its color or smell or taste changes. And with the change of one of these qualities or attributes, of course the water becomes impure. But of course it's recommended that in the event of certain najasa falling in that well, a quantity of water should be drawn from the well. Like, and of course, it depends on what the najasa is, okay? For example, when we know that some of the people listening to us might know that, okay, there are different types of najasa, and one type of najasa is the blood of menses, the blood of postpartum bleeding, that is the blood, and the blood of istihaza, irregular blood. These are the three types of blood, which if it happens to fall into the well, then the water of the well must be drawn out, and this najasa is different from the blood which might fall into the well from one's nose. Okay, it's not the blood of menses. So the blood of menses is very much different from the blood which comes out or which may drop from one's nose or from a wound, or maybe a drop of urine falls into that well. In the event that a drop of urine falls into the well, of course, if the color does not change, if the smell does not change, if the taste does not change, then it's not necessary to draw out, and the water still remains to be a purifying agent.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh. Thank you, my dear listeners, for joining your own program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. With me, Mohammed Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker, will bid you farewell. And until another show, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم ملجا لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الأبطال.